Let's turn to Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Praise the Lord for the Word. I was looking at that young people's song, I guess yesterday, and you sing all the different functions of the Word. There's one that talks about the Word of God, it regenerates man, it has, you know, all these different functions. And we want to spend this whole weekend in the Word. Allow the Word to operate in so many different functions in our being. Right? If you're here and you have not opened to receive the Lord, let the Word speak to you and you receive the Lord. Most of us here, I think probably all of us, have received the Lord. Well, does your being need cleansing? Do you need the washing in the water in the Word?
Amen.
You do. Me too. How about having our minds renewed? You know, you get exposed in college. I did. That your thoughts aren't according to God's thinking. Right? Some kind of philosophy, some kind of ism floats your way. And you, yeah, that's right. And you talk with your friends that way. And then you read the Word and your mind gets renewed. Right? And the Word does something very, very basic. The Word helps us to live. It's nourishment to us. Right? You know Matthew 4:4, right? What is it? A man does not live on bread alone, but... Right. Every word. And it's not just in some kind of metaphorical sense. Brothers and sisters, we have to eat the Word. I mean, really learn to eat the Word, brothers. Eat it. If we don't, if the Word, if the Bible is for us something that is just, you know, is just objective, then we're missing out on the continuing of our Christian life. Yes, we got saved, praise the Lord. But we want to go on. We have to eat. And the best way to eat the Word, the best way, is to pray read the Word. Pray read it. So just a little bit on pray reading, okay? When you pray read the Word, you're engaging another part of your being, right? Yes, the Word of God is living and operative, and everybody has the Word of God. I think more Bibles are owned by people than any other book in the world. But how is it living and operating to me? Well, a lot of people read the Bible too. But there needs to be, we all have a spirit, saints. And our spirit is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When you strike your spirit against the Word, like match hitting a striker, you get fire. And the best way is to pray over the Word. And, of course, there's a lot of different ways, just as there's many different ways of eating. Okay? There's a brother here, I don't know where he's sitting, Mike Peon. He messed up his jaw a couple of years ago, and he needed the whole thing reconstructed, and it was wired, and so he couldn't eat anything hardly. And so you had to blend all your food, right? Throw that steak in there, throw the broccoli in there, well, and you drank it. And that's one way to eat food. I don't want to eat it that way, but there's a lot of different ways to eat. Okay, when we pray read the Word, the main thing though is use your spirit.
Amen.
Exercise your spirit. And it's harder, it's more like going into the gym, and you don't want to exercise, especially on the back row. But you have to fight. You've got to fight to really be here. And actually, in any meeting, you need to be in every meeting. Not as a spectator, but you're a participant. Eat the Word. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 says, we receive the Word by means of all prayer. In a group like this, it's not as easy. So maybe we'll save this. Maybe we'll have another time. But at least for now, you can still pray read the Word by reading it in an exercise prayerful way.
Amen.
We won't take the time, but let's look at Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. And let's read these verses together, okay? All together. And you just exercise another part of your being. Of course you need your mind. How are you going to understand what you're seeing? Use your mind. But use another part of your being when you touch the Bible. Okay? So you got this open in front of you. Ready? Go. Amen. Amen. Now, sisters, you read these verses and emphasize the words good pleasure. And emphasize he purposed, good pleasure, purposed. And in the next verse, you emphasize the word economy. Ready, sisters? Go. Good pleasure, purposed, economy. Amen. Amen. Economy, purpose, good pleasure, His will. You should chew on this. Even though we're not prayer reading in pairs or alone or in group, in your being, these verses should supply your Christian life. It should supply your thinking. Okay, let's turn and look at another verse, which also has economy. What's the big economy verse? These ones here, there's another one in Ephesians, and there's one more. Which one are we going to? 1 Timothy what? 1:4. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:4. And now let's have the brothers read this with your spirit. And you, well, let's all read it, and then brothers, you emphasize God's economy, which is in faith. Okay, but all together first. Ready? Go. Amen. Let's read it again, all together again, and emphasize God's economy, which is in faith. Go. Rather than God's economy is in faith. Amen. So you keep these verses in your consideration as the brothers sharing. And all of you, like me, you probably all have cell phones. Put it on silent. And please, just ignore it. Someone... put it on silent, not vibrate. Even off is better. Don't text in these times. And your spirit can be engaged in every part of this time. Do you remember the verses that we just read? What's in these verses? Pleasure, will, economy, purpose. Chew on this as the brother is sharing. As the word comes out of him, you have a supply of the word as well. You mix this together with your spirit. You listen with your spirit. You draw it out of the brother. And then the Lord will stir in you. And there'll be something that touches you. And if you want to keep that after this weekend, then after the sharing, you'll speak it. After the brother shares, then you come up and share. And that thing, that truth will be yours.
Well, brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Thank you we can be here drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Some of you may be wondering why I'm up here. Some of you may have heard that Brother Ed Marks was going to be here. And he was until 2 days ago. Unfortunately, he had a family emergency. His father-in-law passed away, so he was not able to be with us, and praise the Lord. So some of us heard that we were going to be responsible for this conference. So pray for us. Pray for this conference. We hope that every conference we would pray for, but especially now, we're desperate before the Lord. Let's see how the Lord would lead us. The Lord would be merciful to reveal His eternal purpose. We can have a life that lives to live a life to fulfill His eternal purpose, and that we can enjoy Christ as our everything for a new revival.
Amen.
So each one of us brothers will take a message, and but we're here standing with the 400, right? Speaking. We're all speaking. And we're just before the Lord to see how the Lord would lead, and may He be merciful to us to grant us such a controlling vision. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just take a few minutes to review, since last night this room wasn't as full. We spent some time sharing on our conscience, dealing with our conscience. Brother Dennis shared that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for each meeting, church meeting that we come to, each conference that we come to. We need to be prepared. And one of the best, one of the good ways to be prepared is to prepare our conscience, to take care of our conscience. And that is to go before the Lord, before His shining, before His light, and let Him shine on our being. So that when we come to these kinds of meetings, and the Lord wants us to drink of the living waters, there is no barrier in between. And that water can flow in an unhindered way. And that we can rejoice. We can rejoice.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, are you rejoicing?
Amen.
If we're not rejoicing, there may be some blockages. And these blockages are what we were talking about last night. And if you have your verse sheet that was passed out, these verses are excellent verses to use to pray over, to read, and to pray to the Lord in your individual time. And even, brothers and sisters, if you didn't do it last night or this morning, just take a few minutes even while I'm sharing to consider before the Lord, to open before the Lord, to ask Him to remove any barriers so we can be the best receivers. And then the last point we shared last night was to be the best receiver is to be the best dispenser. So the amount of inflow we receive is proportional to the amount of outflow that comes out from us. So we want to encourage you, young people, college students, during this conference, just make it a point, purpose in your heart, that you will speak at this conference. You know, after each session, the brothers will share, and then it's your turn. And we literally mean your turn. That means you're responsible for the second half of the meeting. And that is when we put the microphones up here, you're to come up, and it's your turn to speak. So with that, you know, in our college meetings sometimes, we'll say, okay, we're going to read this portion of the Scriptures and the Word, and sometimes we read it, and everyone's like, yeah, we just go through. We even read the sentence, but we don't even know what we read. But then we say, okay, now we're all coming back, and every one of you is going to share. Oh, and then everyone's like, oh. You know, they're actively engaged in the reading. Whereas before, oh, we're just reading it. Yeah. Oh, where are we? What sentence? Yeah, okay. You know. So I hope with this kind of speaking, your listening would be this kind of listening with the intention that you will speak. So after we speak, and you know, we were sharing, when we were college students, high schoolers and college students at conferences, we knew we were going to speak even before the brothers spoke. We knew that meeting we were going to speak. It was just time. It's been two meetings. I haven't spoke yet. I got to speak this meeting. So during the meeting, I already knew I was coming up to the mic. I didn't know what I was going to speak yet, but I knew I was going to speak. So I hope during this conference, all of you would have this kind of heart and this kind of purpose in your heart. Okay, this meeting, which young people, which college students, this meeting right after our speaking is coming up here to speak. Well, you better prepare yourself right now. Set your heart. Be prepared. In your listening and your consideration, so that right after I'm done speaking or the brothers are done speaking, you're ready to come up here. Okay, so we hope that you would take all this to heart. Don't leave this conference without coming up here and speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, now let's read the title of this conference. And we hope you would leave with this title ingrained in your being. All together. Living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ, so everything, for a new revival. Brothers.
Living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ.
Sisters with a strong spirit. Amen. We're here living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. And if you see with this title, there's two sections, right? That's the first section, living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. So this morning, or actually today, these messages today will cover the first section of this title, living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. And we'll take message outline one, and we'll split that into two messages. The first message will be this morning to about 9:30, and then the second session will cover the second part of this outline. Then tonight will be message two. Then tomorrow we'll have two meetings on message three and four on by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. But brothers and sisters, you realize it's hard to talk about one without the other. If we want to talk about fulfilling God's eternal purpose, you can't do that without enjoying Christ as your everything. And it's hard to enjoy Christ as your everything if you don't know what God's eternal purpose is. So they're two very much interrelated. You just can't separate the two. So in the messages, although they're broken out this way, you're going to hear parts from each message because that is an all-inclusive title that we have. Amen. And we're just endeavoring and we're laboring to enter into this burden that our brother had for us. So the first part of this title, living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. What is God's eternal purpose? If we want to live a life to fulfill God's eternal purpose, we better know what God's eternal purpose is. What is God's eternal purpose? Is it that we would be good Christians and have a clean conscience? Very good, right? We spent a whole message last night sharing about dealing with the conscience. Is that God's eternal purpose? If it is, then after last night's message, we can all go home. Right? We want to be clear on what God's eternal purpose is. So we went to Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. And in Ephesians 1, 9 through 10, there are these important words. The first important word is His will. And the second one is according to His good pleasure. His good pleasure. And then verse 10, economy. So in God's heart, He had a good pleasure. And that good pleasure is just what makes Him happy. What makes you happy? I want to ask you right now, what makes you happy? If you just consider among yourself, that is your good pleasure. That is what you want to do. Well, brothers and sisters, in God's heart, there was a good pleasure. And that good pleasure has everything to do with you and me. It has to do with man. And according to this good pleasure, what makes him happy, he had a will. That will is to carry out what his good pleasure is. And the way to do this, the way to carry out his good pleasure, is what we call God's economy. And economy actually is the word later on we'll see, in 1 Corinthians 9:17, this word economy is actually stewardship. You know what stewardship is, right? Stewards on the airplane, they pass out, they distribute the goods, right? So God's economy is just a distribution or household plan of how He distributes His goods. What are God's goods? God Himself. God's economy is to dispense Himself. Amen. Himself. Amen. Into all His believers. Amen. That He would have a corporate expression that would consummate in the New Jerusalem. That is His good pleasure. Now what good pleasure, I just mentioned part, of course we'll get into detail what the high peak of the divine revelation according to His eternal purpose is. But in short, I just told you what His good pleasure was. That He wants to dispense Himself into man, has everything to do with man, that man would become like Him in life and in nature to consummate in the New Jerusalem to be His bride. Right? Well, you might say, well, I don't really understand that. How is that a good pleasure? My good pleasure is, I don't know, playing or watching the World Series, watching baseball. That's my good pleasure. How is God's good pleasure, you know, to dispense himself into man? Well, you know, pleasure really depends on the level of life, the maturity in life. You know, I mentioned my son last night, a two-year-old boy. You give him a balloon, and he'll be satisfied for an hour or two. You know, just there. You know, bouncing it, playing around with it. You know, that is his pleasure. He could just bounce that balloon all day. Now, if I gave that ball to Brother Bill, how long do you think Brother Bill will play with that balloon? You know what I mean? There's just the maturity in life, right? The level of life, that pleasure is just not the same. It's not the same. The higher in life you are, the more mature, the higher the pleasure. You know, and then I see a lot of college brothers. These college brothers come over to our house all the time, right? So they're playing this game on their phone, Angry Birds. You guys know what that? So they're playing it all the time. So they're teaching my other son, my five-year-old son. You know, so my five-year-old son's like, ah, you know, doing this. That's all he does, is just play this Angry Birds. Okay, well then the other day, this college brother taught him, no, you don't want to just do that. You want to get the stars. I don't really understand, but... So I guess what I'm saying, so then this college brother has a different level of satisfaction in this game, right? My five-year-old son, all he does is pull the Angry Bird and launches him, and he thinks that's fun. But then there's a different, you know, this game, you with another level of intelligence or life, you can play it and have a whole different satisfaction in this game or pleasure. You understand what I mean? I hope you see this example, right? So our idea of what pleasure is, brothers and sisters, compared to the Lord's level of good pleasure, you just have to see, this is the highest level of life, the Zoe life, the highest being in this universe. And his level, his good pleasure must be the highest pleasure in this universe. And that pleasure is that he would dispense himself. That means he would give his very being, who he is, what he is, everything he is, to individuals like us. And despite the fall of man, and of course man fell, and in God's infinite wisdom, he knew that man would fall, and he had a marvelous redemptive plan. But even that redemption, even that plan of redemption to save us, to rescue us, is subordinate to his original intention. In other words, that's not what God's... The whole goal of redemption was to bring us back to his original plan. Not that would be the plan itself. Right? And that plan, that original purpose, that is his good pleasure, is his economy. Amen. And that is God's eternal purpose. That's what we're here for this weekend. We're here to live this kind of life for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. Now, you see, in Genesis 2:8, God placed man in the Garden of Eden, right? And Eden, the Hebrew word for Eden, means pleasure. So man was placed in the Garden of Pleasure. Brothers and sisters, our God is a God of pleasure. Good pleasure. I don't know about you, but you know, you grow up and you think of this religious kind of God. That you come, you sit in pews, and you're quiet, and you're reverent, and you do these kind of ritualistic things. Actually, that is not God. God is a God of good pleasure. And he wants us to drink of the rivers of his pleasure. So when we come to these conferences, we're here to enjoy. We're here to have pleasure. God is a God of good pleasure. So let us raise our intensity of enjoyment in our listening, in our singing, in our speaking. May there be much enjoyment. And of course, that has much to do with our conscience. If there's there's some blockages. It's hard to enjoy. Matt, can you look up Psalm 36:8? In Psalms 36:8, I'll read it, and then Matt, if you can read the footnote for us. Psalm 36:8 says, "They are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasure." Pleasures. So footnote 1 on pleasures. Can you read that for us, Matt? You have it? Why don't you stand and read it?
Figuratively?
Yeah.
Figuratively, fatness means abundance. Specifically, the word refers to the fatty ashes of sacrifices.
Here. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Skip to the next paragraph. Verses 8 through 9 reveal the divine Trinity in His divine dispensing as the enjoyment of God's people in His house. The fatness refers to Christ, the Son, the river of the divine pleasures, to the Spirit as the river of water of life, and the fountain of life and light to the Father.
Amen.
As the source of life and light. These verses indicate that even in the dispensation of law, before the dispensation of grace in the New Testament age, the seeking saints enjoyed the triune God.
Amen.
In His dwelling place on earth.
Amen.
They indicate further that the entire Bible was written according to the controlling vision that the triune God is working Himself into His chosen and redeemed people.
Amen.
To be their life.
Amen.
Their life supply.
Amen.
In order to saturate their entire being with the divine Trinity. That is, with the Father as the fountain, the Son as the fatness, and the Spirit as the river.
Amen. Thank you. So I wanted Matt to read that footnote in the Old Testament. Brothers and sisters, I hope you all have a study Bible like this, right? That has these footnotes that unlock these marvelous riches. It says that even before the dispensation of grace in the New Testament age, the seeking saints enjoyed the triune God in His dwelling place on earth. Even the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, enjoyed the triune God.
Amen.
So the whole Bible was written with this controlling vision, that the triune God wanted man to enjoy Him through dispensing Himself into man. Now, brothers and sisters, if we are not in this good pleasure, we will never be happy. Because we will always give ourselves to things that we were not made for. You know, of course, we've shared this many times. You know, you have a glove. You have a glove, and then you have the hand that fits the glove. That's what the glove was made for. To have His hand inside it. You put anything else in it, that glove just is, it may work, but it's not meant to hold other things. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that He put eternity in man's heart. So that means there's nothing that will make us happy. Okay, so we've shared this several times, right? And actually, we were in a Friday night meeting last week. I had a gospel friend there, and we read about this. And he said, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm happy. I want to be, I want to be a U.S. senator. I want to be, you know, a CEO of IBM, whatever. And when I become that, I will be happy." You know, and many of us, you know, at your school, your classmates, I hope you're driven in this way, right? You have to have this kind of motivation and this drive. And so he was questioning. Well, what do you all mean? You know, you drink of this water and then you say, you know, you'll be happy forever. Well, I'm happy right now. I'm happy doing this. Yes, actually, you are happy. And I'm happy when, you know, we are pursuing certain things, or we're doing certain things, we're watching World Series. I bring that up again because, you know, someone in our house is, anyway, really into that. Really happy, right? Yes, there's that happiness. But that happiness is temporary. That happiness is temporary. You will always, always continue to have some kind of lack inside because God placed eternity in our heart. You know, I went to a graduate school at a school that is a huge basketball school, right? And one of the basketball players there, one of the brothers was speaking the gospel, and he bumped into this basketball player. So for a college basketball team, what do you think the highest goal is for a basketball team in college? NBA? No, did someone say NBA? No, not as a team. As an individual, maybe NBA, but as a team, what is it? To win the national championship, right? So you speak the gospel to him, and he says, what are you talking about? I'm here to win the national championship, right? What do you think this brother said? Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, good luck. Go Bruins. No, he didn't say that. He said, okay, well, after you win the national championship, you remember the words that I'm speaking to you right now. Why? Because even after you win the national championship, there will still be that emptiness until you enter into God's good pleasure, until you enter into God's eternal purpose. So yes, we're not here to say there are no temporary types of enjoyment. Absolutely there is. And so, you know, as a young person, as a new one, man, what are you guys talking about? Yes, no. So I want to take that right off the table, right? Yeah. Yes, we'll concede. There are temporary enjoyments. However, after you become CEO, after you win the national championship, after you win the World Series, there's still, when you lay in your bed at night, all alone, when it's quiet, there is something deep within you. What is that? That's eternity. And the footnote there, again, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to read the footnote says, it's a divinely implanted sense of purpose working throughout the ages, which nothing under the sun but only God can satisfy. God created man in his image and formed in him a spirit that man may receive and contain him. So this is what you need to speak. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need to speak. My college roommate, he was a rock climber. Rock climbing, right? So he would climb rocks. Tall rocks, okay? After he did that, then it has to be bigger rocks. Okay, after that, what? There's a thing called free climbing. You know what free climbing is? That means no ropes. Why? Because he's still looking. He's still looking. Okay, I've done this. Now I got to look for the next thing. The next thing is no safety. No safety line. So he did that, and he shared with me when we were in college. After I did that, I did free climb. I went to the top. I sat there, and I looked, and I said, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Why? Still hadn't found God's eternal purpose. This is what, brothers and sisters, there's students all over our campus that are this way. Where's Yemi? I'm stealing Yemi's thunder here for this afternoon. Sorry. But this is what we need to speak. What we want to speak is God's eternal purpose. We want to bring God's eternal purpose to people. And until we enter into this purpose, we will never be happy. There is the temporary happiness, yes, but we will never inwardly find this joy. But, brothers and sisters, hallelujah! Amen. The word has been opened. You know, Job said, I know these things are hidden in your heart. I know what's in you. This is in the Old Testament. But he didn't know what it was. Why? Because it was in the Old Testament. It wasn't until the New Testament, right? Here in Ephesians, it says, making known to us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's been made known to us. Amen. We're not in Job's time. Job, oh, praise the Lord for such a brother. But he couldn't enter in. He was talking to God. I know it's hidden in you. I know it. What is it? What is it? It's God's eternal purpose. It's God's economy. And it's being open to us. So we want to be ones this whole weekend to continue to open. Lord, shine. Lord, reveal yourself. I want to see your eternal purpose. And once you see this eternal purpose, once you give yourself to this eternal purpose, that is when you're happy. That is when you're truly happy. And this kind of happiness is the eternal happiness and eternal joy. Now, what kind of life is this? This kind of life, well, What kind of life fulfills God's eternal purpose? It's not a life that compromises. It can never be a life that compromises. Why? Because this is the highest eternal purpose. I went to a wedding of a sister that I grew up with that I knew very well. And she was marrying an unbeliever. I shouldn't say that. I don't know if he was a believer. It was hard to tell. But the whole wedding, brothers and sisters, there was this feeling among the brothers and sisters that attended, compromise. It was saddening. Even right now, as I'm speaking this, my heart is just saddened. Why? Because she's a sister, and we know she loves the Lord. But this kind of life that fulfills God's eternal purpose is an uncompromising life. It's a life that gives their all for His purpose. This is the life that we saw in the sister that broke her alabaster flask on the Lord's feet. That is an uncompromising life. And we hope, brothers and sisters, as this vision becomes clearer and governs us more and more, that we would be these kinds of young people. This is what we want to give our lives to. Everyone's looking to give their lives to something, right? Especially on the college campuses. They want to give themselves for the environment. They want to give themselves to this, to that. There's so many things. Why? Because they're looking for something to give themselves to. A worthy cause. Actually, it's actually very disconcerting when we see young people that don't give themselves to anything. That's the worst thing. At least people that are on the streets trying to get me to sign up for Greenpeace or something, they're giving. I respect them, in a sense, for standing. It's not easy standing. We've done it, right? When we pass out tracts, it's difficult doing that. You know how hard it is for them to stand there to save the whales? Right? We're losing our face for the triune God. They're losing their face for whales. You know, it's not easy to do, but they're doing it. Anyway, brothers and sisters, guess what I'm saying? We need to give our lives to something. Young people want to give their lives to something all the time. And we need to stand for something. Why not for the highest purpose in this universe? And again, brothers and sisters, until we are such ones, we will never genuinely be happy. Why? Okay, so how do we know if we are living a life according to God's good pleasure? How do we know if we're living a life that's fulfilling God's eternal purpose? How do you know? Is there a green light that shines? Is it daylight all the time and a rainbow? It says, good job. How do we know? Brothers, sisters, how do we know? Anyone answer? Overwhelming joy. What else? Everything goes right. Nothing will go wrong. No car accidents. Good grades. 4.0, you ace your midterm and your final. Is that how we know we're living in God's eternal purpose? How do we know? You will be happy. There will be a sense of happiness within you. That sense of happiness actually is a reflection of God's happiness. When we're happy, God's happy. Do you really believe the God of this universe, the God that has a good pleasure, wants us to be under, to be punished, to be, oh, bad, bad. Don't do that. That's fun. Don't do that, you know. Isn't this our thought of God? He doesn't want us to do anything that's fun. No, actually, I hope this morning you see, God is a God of good pleasure.
Amen.
He is a God of pleasure. He wants us to live according to His good pleasure, which is the highest pleasure in this universe. So when He's happy, that's when we're happy. That's how you know. You want to live this kind of life? You'll know. You just check with your experience. When you come to a conference like this, when you speak the gospel to a friend, and you get saved, inside you, there's just this joy that you can't explain. What is that joy? That joy is God being happy. That joy and that happiness is you being in God's eternal purpose. Okay, so what is God's eternal purpose? Let's go through this outline. I shared it, but the outline just brings out all the details of God's eternal purpose, God's economy. And this is what we call the high peak of the divine revelation. Why? Because it's the highest revelation concerning His economy. And brothers and sisters, some of you have heard this before, but I hope with this view, you know, we would pray to the Lord, that we would have a pure heart, we would be poor in spirit, that we can receive this word again. Why? Because if you don't see this, you're giving yourself to something else. You're giving yourself to something short of this. And then you'll never be happy. So let us go through the outline, point by point, and we'll see what God's eternal purpose is. Okay? Let's read, how about brothers, read point one. Amen. This should be the principle that governs our life. This is what I was sharing earlier, but the utterance here, brothers and sisters, you just have to see, right? The divine mystery. This is the highest peak of the divine revelation, right? That the mystery hidden in God's heart is the revelation of God's eternal economy. If you miss this, you miss the highest peak of the divine revelation. Listen, I know in college, we would have these debates all the time. Well, there's so many inconsistencies in the Bible. How can you believe in the Bible? You know, you have this, you have that. Well, yeah, you're right. You know, if you don't have the highest peak, if you don't have this thesis line that goes through the entire Bible, then it's very hard to pull in 66 books and have a common theme. What is the common theme? What is the highest peak of the divine revelation? That's God's eternal economy. If you have God's eternal economy, you can tie all the 66 books together. Then you can see what is on God's heart. That is His eternal plan to dispense, right? To dispense Himself in Christ by the Spirit into us, by our life, to be our life, our nature, and our everything, so that He might live Christ, we might live Christ and express Christ. This should be the principle that governs our entire life. So, brothers and sisters, we need to get into this. I mean, this is a packed point. Each one of these points we can share a whole message on. But because we're in the age of intensification, all these things are being released so that we can be intensified in our salvation to be the overcomers, and we'll see that, to fulfill His eternal purpose. Okay, point A. How about the sisters? Read point A. Amen. Okay, so many of you have seen this, right? The infinite God, right? So this is God. And the circle, right? Circle represents eternity or eternal, no beginning, no end. This eternal God became a finite man, right? Lived on the earth for 33 and a half years, died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, resurrected, became the life-giving Spirit, and then what? Did He end there?
No.
He ascended, right? Then what? Then He came as the life-giving Spirit into man. Now, I got some new light here. Listen. This, right? What is that? Spirit, right? Spirit. Sorry. Okay. So He came into man, right? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay. So spirit here, what is spirit here? Actually, spirit is eternity, right? Because He placed eternity in man's heart. So God is eternal, And here's something eternal here. Eternity, which is man's heart. Okay, so what is this? This is God's eternal purpose. Right? And in the infinite God became a finite man. He, united and mingled the triune God with the tripartite man. He's expressing his divine attributes through human virtues. And then he accomplished judicial redemption. This is the high peak of the divine revelation, brothers. This is the full ministry of Christ. Right? Then when he died on the cross, what happened? He was resurrected. He became the firstborn son of God. He regenerated all the believers. And then became the life-giving spirit. And then finally, in the last stage of his intensification, he's intensifying his organic salvation to produce us here. Right? To produce us as the overcomers. Right? To consummate the new Jerusalem. That is the divine, that is the high peak of the divine revelation. That is the full ministry of Christ in three stages. What for? So he can accomplish his eternal purpose. Okay, so let's go on to, so basically that wraps up point A. Right? All these steps so that we can express him. And, you know, I just failed to mention at the very beginning of this message, Genesis 1:26. How do we talk about God's eternal purpose without Genesis 1:26? Genesis 1:26, what is that? Let us make man image according to our likeness and let them have dominion. Right? So we have image and dominion. We could never forget image and dominion. Here we see Genesis 1:26. Right away, God tells us what his intention is. That man would express him and exercise his authority or dominion to deal with his enemy. So here, in this process, all of this is for us to express him and exercise his authority to deal with his enemy corporately. Yes. Corporately. That the Lord would have a corporate model to bring him back. Okay, how about brothers, point B? Amen. So eventually, what you see is this entire process consummates in the New Jerusalem. And this New Jerusalem, as we have been seeing and are seeing more and more, is not a physical city. The New Jerusalem is not a physical city. It is you and me, united, mingled, and incorporated with the triune God as a corporate expression for eternity. This is the highest purpose that our God is after. And that's what we should be giving ourselves to. So, listen, we're in college, they're always asking, debating us. You mean I should receive God so then I can just go to heaven and then in heaven play golf all day? You know, play the Golden Links, is that what they call it? Well, you know, some people can say, you know what, I do that right now. Why do I need to? So, that's why it's just not rational, brothers and sisters, that the New Jerusalem is a physical city. Because you can attain that here. Just remember, this highest level, right? This highest level enjoyment, highest level of God's good pleasure, God's pleasure, I should say, is the New Jerusalem. So it has to be something much higher than we ever can comprehend. It can't be physical, right? So it has to be according to his eternal purpose, which is to mingle himself with us. And we just don't know. We just don't have the words. We just don't have the mentality. I don't care if you go to Harvard, brothers and sisters that are from Harvard. I don't care if you're from Harvard. We just don't have the brain power to generate what kind of enjoyment this will be. We just don't know. But we do know we've tasted. We have some foretaste in this age. And you have to believe and you have to admit, you've touched this. At one point in your life, you've touched this. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Okay? All right. Did we read point C yet? Okay, let's read C all together.
The Spirit has the process and consummated triune God, for
Amen. Okay, so I just touched that matter. So this is the process, brothers and sisters, this is the process that the triune God went through for his eternal purpose. Now we want to read point two, which is the way to carry out. Okay, let's all read point two. Good. Okay, so now we have this high peak of the divine revelation. We see God's eternal purpose, the highest purpose in this universe. How do we participate? How do we live a life for the fulfillment of this high eternal purpose? Now, point two will tell us in the rest of the outline, actually, tonight or this afternoon, this morning, later on this morning, and tonight, we'll touch these matters of how to live this kind of life that fulfills God's eternal purpose. Brothers, A. The Spirit is all that we need. The Spirit is all that we need. It's not that new car you want. It's not the new iPhone. That is not what we need. What we need is the Spirit. And again, why? Because there's eternity in our heart. When the Spirit fills that need, all the things are taken care of. And this is how we live this kind of life, to fulfill his eternal purpose, is to be ones in the Spirit, to be filled in Spirit. Okay, point B, sisters. Amen. So again, this is the process that we showed here. Okay, C, brothers. Amen. But he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Praise the Lord. So it's not difficult, right? The way is open for us to be joined to the Lord, to be one Spirit with him. So it's not difficult to live this kind of life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Okay, point D. D. Sisters. Amen. So I just said it wasn't difficult. It's not difficult. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to live this kind of life. So we have to be ones in our spirit to let Christ live through us in all that we do. We should continually talk and rejoice in him. Right? Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Right? Then in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, not I, but the grace. So let the grace live through us. Okay, brothers, point E. Amen. Okay, all together, F. Amen. No other way to be an overcomer than to be in our spirit. So I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's no other way to fulfill, to live a life, to fulfill God's eternal purpose other than to be in spirit. This is what makes God happy. This is what makes us happy. When we are in spirit, we are living a life that is fulfilling God's eternal purpose. This is where our hope is. If we are not in our spirit, there's no hope for us. And God has no hope for fulfilling His eternal purpose. So we have to be ones in our spirit. This is our home. Our spirit is our home. Our spirit is our country. This is our only hope. May the Lord find us as young people. As young people living in our spirit. May the Lord find a group of people where He can recover His good pleasure. I heard a brother share one time. He quoted a brother that we only have one life to live. And we only have one life to give. So what kind of life are we going to give? Are we going to live? And what kind of life are we going to give? May our lives be ones that are given for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord for such a vision. I hope you're beginning to see a little bit more regarding what kind of life we have to live and God's eternal purpose, the life that we want to give our lives to. Okay, now this part of the meeting ends. Now it's your turn. Literally, your turn. Right? So don't think it's the other students. It's your turn. And remember, if you want to see more of this conference, you have to speak. The more you speak, the more the Lord will flow in. Okay, so we'll bring the microphones up here. Come up and line up.